Everyone hear me? Cool. There's been a murder. Someone stabbed the sun. It's dripping onto Baltimore, seeping through gauze clouds onto the cobblestone street, reflecting off the wet tire tracks and pinpoint sparks like the one that followed a 2x4 across the nose. It's dimming, dying, falling in slow motion, but the city is oblivious. Couples in matching jackets and complimentary scarves walk arm in arm down Thames through Fells Point, laughing as they scurry past a burst fire hydrant, trying not to get wet. They push strollers with babies double wrapped in winter coats, share hot chocolate, and kiss the dot of whipped cream off their noses. We have no shop the poster place next door, looking for just the perfect thing for the TV room. Happy lives, happily self-contained, and their happy, oblivious little world universes. I watch the scene, staring at the reflection on the back window of the Daily Grind. The city paper I'm not reading is gutted open across the blonde wood table. My right hand quivers. I need a bump, and I don't like that I need a bump. I'm sorry, Mary. I tried. From my pocket, I pull my stash, held in a plastic container shaped and colored like an oversized Tylenol. Slap it twice on my hand, then palm it. Scratch my chin on my right shoulder and scan the room. No one's watching. Then blow my chest like a sneeze is coming and put my hands to my face. Sniff, sniff, hold. Feel it absorb into my blood and tune in the static in my head. Make a fake sneeze with my mouth so no one suspects anything and put it back in my jeans. The synthetic taste of chewed aspirin, snot, and white drips down the back of my throat. My hands stop quivering and I can feel the inside of my legs and the blood flowing through every vein in my body. I'm getting antsy. Steam swirls and tiny tornadoes from my coffee. I scan whatever page of city paper is open just to give my brain something to do besides think about Mary, about the twins, where she is, why she won't call back, what Bruce Campbell is doing right now, how hard they can hit a rib before it breaks and punctures a lung. Where did this Lenny Chiba DVD Christian ordered for me has come in yet? Whose hand is on my shoulder? I bolt to my feet. The coffee spills Rorschach over the table. The chair scrapes back across the floor, hands curling as I turn. My eyes are CD-sized and the light from outside hurts. Damon, hi. Jesus, are you okay? A girl says, her hands palms out defensive by her shoulder. She's fake tan too much, her skin the color of cantaloupe flesh. Oh, yeah, hi, what's up? Christine? Corey? What the fuck is her name? Man? Yeah, I'm fine, just tired. Too much coffee, you know? She nods her head tentatively. I steal a glance over her shoulder. Check the room. Four students are glued to their laptops and dead to the world. The wrinkled couple in the corner plays cribbage. The girl behind the counter thumbs coins from the tip jar into her palm while her coworker is bored, staring out the window and over the harbor. Just making sure, she smiles, her knee convincing her brain that I'm not a threat. Her bone fingers, with polished nails the color of old scabs, run over my forearm. I already know what she's about to ask me. Just wanted to make sure my boy's okay. I'm fine. I don't know her name. I know her name. I can't think of it. But she's a leech anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Just drinking coffee, gesturing to my brown and wet table. A shark swims mouth open after a fat man in the French roast Rorschach. Are you going back to your store anytime soon? Her tongue traces the edge of her lips. Black high heels slide over her finger closer to me. Or now if you have, you know. Her fingers on my ribs now, kneading, like a preview of what could come. Yes, I know, you conniving, soulless woman. I finger my stash in my pocket and try not to smile. My lips part to say, sorry, the store's closed, when the front door opens. Two twin figures, like bags of garbage stuffed into expensive trench coats, walk in. I pull the girl, Alicia is her name, though I don't know why I remember it now, in front of me, bend my knees to sink behind her. Close my eyes, push on my eye sockets with my palms. This isn't happening. You've seen this before. You're okay. Don't worry. It's all right. Then peel my eyelids open. A rainbow of stars floats through the coffee shop, and the two are gone. They're gone. Just students and old people and bored minimum wage workers. Alicia has pulled her body even closer. She smiles down at me. I can almost see her brain cranking through her irises. She thinks she has me. Straightening my legs, her hand is on my thigh, fingers in my jean pocket, but I could be watching her and someone else and imagining it as me. The front door is still closed. Then the twins are at the counter, ordering orange mocha frappuccinos. I collapse on the chair and pull Alicia down on my lap and sink my face into her neck. She moans quietly, rubs her thumb against my stomach, and I peek up and watch the twins at the counter. Close my eyes, count to three, and hope to God that I'm hallucinating again. The room seeps through the slits in my eyelids, thin slices of light filling in the line drawings in my head with color, depth, filling in the concrete details, and I'm not hallucinating. I'm fucked. Get up, I say to Alicia, throwing my arms around her shoulder and pulling her head close to mine, shielding myself. I can hear her smiling and feel her hand in my back pocket, but try to ignore it. Keep walking and don't move your head unless I move it for you. I like this, she purrs. It's sexy. This whole hostage thing. When we get back to the store, I'm going to shut the fuck up, I say, peering past her profile and checking the counter. One of the twins hits the arm of the other and puts his hand out for money. There's a bulge in his trench coat, shaped like a Y, and I'm sure it's the hedge clippers and wonder if they're the same pair. Everything looks like a Hitchcock movie. The door slides farther and farther away. The 7 steps to the street will take 15 years. Alicia's hormones buzz in my ear. My God, damn it, she breathes. You're getting me so. They turn to us, and I whisper, oh, fuck. Their eyes catch mine. I can't breathe. I sweep my foot under Alicia's, knock her onto the ground in front of the door. I'm so sorry, Alicia. Lean my shoulder into the door and explode onto Thames. My head spins to check, and there's no one there, but I can still feel their breath. My feet smack with dull steps on the concrete. An old Asian woman carrying 2 bags of Blizzard backup food pauses right in front of me, and she tries to figure out what I'm screaming. She figures it out too late. The bags explode into the sky. A deluge of dried spaghetti and dates, a can of peaches and tomato sauce rain down on the sidewalk. They barely miss me, spinning on the ball of my foot. The cartilage in my knee pops and cracks. My palm scrapes the ground and soaks up little pebbles in my flesh to keep from kissing the concrete, to keep the distance between the twins and me as far as possible. A man shaped like a bowling pin screams derogatory epithets about every woman in my family, says I was born in a test tube. I'd stop and argue with him, but I don't feel like dying. The crowd in front of me pricks their ears to all the yelling and turns to gawk. They step back to avoid a collision or my elbow in their neck. My legs can finally stretch out to a full stride. A few breaths up the sidewalk, 2 boys with greasy faces and mustaches like crumbled Oreos leave their skateboards at their feet. A mangy dog meanders without a leash, and a suited man finds it a good time to fix his right cuff. I can almost feel them twisting a corkscrew into my breastplate. I hop over the skateboards, barely missing the dog, and turn back to check for them, then step on a lump and I'm looking at the waning January sky. Papers floating down over me like A4 snowflakes. You fucking prick, the suit screams as he scurries to gather his business proposals, vetoed with my size 9 stamp. I scramble to my feet and check behind again, the sidewalk gawkers congealing back together, hiding me. Every step catches fire in my soles and pushes needles into my temples. White clouds form in front of my mouth. Christian's whiskey sloshes in my stomach. It'll help, he said. It's been a rough couple of days. 4 blocks of sprinting, checking, heaving, choking, swallowing hard, and trying not to vomit, and I'm at Shakespeare Street. Using the light pole like a fulcrum, I wind myself around the corner. My left foot slides across gravel in a broken Yingling bottle. The first alley is desolate, quiet, perfect. Fences keep it from spilling into the tiny backyards. I slam into the first door in the fence. Locked. Push on the next one. Locked. The mouth of the alley yawns, wide and open. My ears prickle for a split second. Footsteps. They sound heavy, but could be from any of the million people in Fells today. The next door. Locked. I yank on the handle and almost rip it out of the wood. The heavy footsteps are louder now. 4 steps backwards and I take a breath, about to throw myself into the door and break it down and hide. But then if the door is broken down, then they'll know where I am and there's no point in hiding. Sidestep to the next one, put my weight into it, and it swings open. I dip inside and slam the door, and it's black, a vacuum. The doorway to another parallel world, hopefully one where I'd never met her. I'm going to evaporate, be erased, disappear into nothingness, and that might not be such a bad idea. My eyes adjust after a few seconds, and it's not a black hole or time portal, it's a storage shed. I stand on the push lawnmower inside, breathe, and try to relax. You're cool, it's okay, you'll be fine, they're not there, it's all right. I'm talking to myself. Standing, shaking, breathing hard. A metallic scraping like hedge clippers that have rusted. They've snuck up without any noise and are standing outside of the shed, ready to aerate my chest. Once they finish the rest of their coffee and dab the corner of their lips with a monogrammed silk handkerchief, they'll kick the door open and drag me face down across the alley, an Italian leather loafer on the back of my skull to make sure I'm chewing mouthfuls of concrete. There's pressure on my neck, my fingertips are cold. The dying sun bleeds through a splinter crack in the middle of the door. I check the walls and what little light there is for something to grab, to swing and slice or gouge. Nothing. No trowels. No spades. No tiny scraping things that look like 3-fingered skeleton hands. Not even a bulb planter. The pressure is gone. I look down and realize my fingers were spinning Christian's grandfather's wedding band around its metal chain. Put it against my lips, please. Then tuck it back inside my shirt and bend my knees to peer through the crack. Drag my hand across my forehead and wipe the sweat and pieces of dirt on my jeans. A rat scratches past the splinter of outside. I have to wait. A minute, 2 minutes, 20 minutes. Everything seems eternal in the black space in a back alley. Heavy, but now muted in closer footsteps. I squint my eyes to concentrate and hear better. Sound about 20 feet away. Light on the feet, trying to be subtle and sneaky. My lungs take every molecule of oxygen from every shallow breath. Footsteps disappear. I'm just hearing things. It's all imagination. Release sigh and I kiss the ring. Thanks, Grandpa. Then they're closer. I perch my hand on my back pocket to steady myself, to keep from slipping and making a noise. There's a lump in my pocket. The lump is my switchblade. It takes 30 or 48 or 132 seconds to open the blade without the lock clicking and giving me away. Shift again, gentle, silent, and scour the sliver of alley between the door and its frame. My eyes narrow and look for a gun, a flathead screwdriver, a rusted pair of hedge clippers or a broken wine bottle. The tinted bottle glass shimmers in the sunlight. Fuck. The footsteps are slower, sound just a few feet away. Just imagine their paw. Imagine Paul's face on their bodies. I'm going to destroy them. A stealing breath, and then I explode through the door, my arms cocked at jugular height and ready to slash. A bum in an army-issued trench coat that used to be black 12 layers of dirty go drops his wine bottle with a damp shatter. He curls back, serves, motherfuckers, don't hurt me, through bird's nest beard and the mechanic's stained hands protecting his gnarled face. Snap my head left and right, looking for them. Alleyway, trash can, recycling bins. Cardboard boxes too big for recycling bins. No twins. My arm drops and I take a step back, collapsing with relief on the door that's leaning jaggedly against the shed. The bum looks through his fingers for a second, then lowers his hand, stumbling half a step. Shit, I'm really sorry, man. Dig my hand into my jeans and pull out whatever's in the pocket. Hand $13 and a Cody to the bum for the inconvenience. While he examines his take, I creep to the edge of the street and peek around the corner, switchblade still in hand, just in case. They're not there. Thanks, Mifter. The bum hiccups and lurches down the alleyway. I cinch the switchblade close, look around the corner again to double check, and walk head down hurried along Shakespeare to South Bethel, veer right towards the corner at Elysiana. Stand for a minute, surveying the faces. Middle-aged woman with cat's-eye glasses and pink chucks. Two bike messengers resting on their crossbars, smoking. A herd of seven hipsters streaming out of a cafe. Gone. The twins have evaporated. Turn around and run as fast as I can to 734 South Bethel, pulling out the key before I get to the building, then stab the lock, throw the door open, slam it shut. Three deadbolts click, then I vault up the steps, stab another lock, and seal myself inside Christian's apartment. The tattered black couch creaks as I let myself collapse. An iceberg of foam floats on the back cushion. Jesus Christ. I pull the pack of Casimirs, shove one in my mouth, light it. All right, I'm talking to myself again. All right. Talking to an empty room with scarlet walls. I'm telling Bela Lugosi, Robert Uglund, and Leatherface that I'm okay. They stay quiet in the picture frames. From the cover of Changes, David Bowie gives me a look that says, "You have it all under control." I nod my head. Thanks, Dave. My voice echoes off the hardwood floor into the linoleum kitchen. All right, I need to rest. I need to think. Take a drag. Feel the smoke fill my chest and nicotine soak into my blood. The oversized Tylenol in my pocket. I'd forgotten about that. I think I deserve it. Smack it against my palm. There's no one here to see. And take a long snort. Hold my breath. Let it drip down my throat and explode through my veins. Exhale. Long, slow, and centered. I need a pen and some water. In the kitchen, I grab a glass from the draining rack and fill it. The cold water feels good on my hands. In my head, I fill a glass and dump it down the back of my neck, then over my face, over and over and over and over. The hands of the Beetlejuice clock on the wall point north and south. Christian won't be home for another 2 hours. I sit on the couch again, grab a pen from the wooden corner table and a receipt from Moo Young's dry cleaners, then stub out my cigarette in the glass ashtray I bought Christian for his birthday. It says Jesus hates it when you smoke, and a banner out underneath the stylized face of Christ. All right, I say to the room. What do I know? I think about everything that's happened and make a list on the back of the receipt. Thanks very much.